must approach the material the same way they should always approach their partner, with an open mind, an open heart, and a patient spirit. The art of the matter. The second part of the Kama Sutra outlines 64 sexual acts of congress, 8 different methods that can in turn be performed in 8 different positions. This part of the book has become so popular, people often think that is the entire Kama Sutra. While practicing the 64 acts can make the sex more exciting in a marriage, it is the principles from not one but all 7 parts that will enable a marriage to survive outside temptations and allow for the years to bring them closer together. While the drawings of the 64 positions have become the trademark of the Kama Sutra, the book in its original form was only text. The depictions of the various positions are artists' interpretations from that text. It's the wide circulation of the drawings that has given the Kama Sutra the reputation of being a sex manual, and sometimes regarded as a semi-pornographic exploration of sex. It's unfortunate that the intimacy that these acts are meant to create and strengthen often gets lost in translation and/or the retelling of the original message. Despite the many differences between ancient Indian culture and today's pop culture, the themes most central to the teaching of the Kama Sutra still ring true. The need for sexual pleasure, for emotional and sensual intimacy, is just as fundamental to the human experience as hunger and thirst. And for all our ethical and technological advances, people still struggle to connect in an openly vulnerable manner and struggle even more to resist leaving a tense relationship in favor of a newer, seemingly easier one. The Kama Sutra brings both emotional and physical inhibitions into the warm light of acceptance and respect. Most remarkable of all is how it treats both men and women equally. It regards both sexes as beautiful, spiritual creatures who possess complicated sexual drives that, if managed properly, can open the door to infinite joy and pleasure in and out of the bedroom. Chapter 2. Misconceptions. The Kama Sutra is a sex pamphlet. While this is a gross misinterpretation of the book, it's an understandable one. The sexual positions of the Kama Sutra have been compiled and circulated as if it were the complete Kama Sutra guideline. This fostered a notion that to embrace the teachings of the book, a couple just had to try out the sexual positions described in extremely edited version. The positions are just a fraction of the teachings Vatsyayana shared when he wrote the Kama Sutra. The original book shares advice on foreplay, courtship, even personal grooming. The Kama Sutra will make me a sex god. This misconception comes from the hope that could be true. Unless the idea is for the partners to see each other as sex gods, this isn't the right approach to take with the Kama Sutra. The teachings have always promoted equality between partners. The Kama Sutra promotes promiscuity and infidelity. Quite the opposite, actually. The Kama Sutra is meant to help married couples grow closer together and, as time goes by, become more excited about each other. The Kama Sutra will make you into a better lover. While that may be true, you would be selling the Kama Sutra and yourself short. The book explains how the impact of even small gestures like eye contact, smiles, or the casual caress can remind and even amplify pleasure. With advice on marriage, sex, communication, and courtship, the Kama Sutra does more than make you a better lover. It can make you a better partner. The Kama Sutra is demeaning to women. In the era in which the Kama Sutra was written, its depiction of women was revolutionary. The notion that wives warranted just as much attention, pleasure, and courtship as their husbands was very progressive for its time. There are smaller parts of the book that reference things like a group of men sharing one of the wives, one husband after the other, or simultaneously. There are chapters dedicated to the etiquette that multiple wives should maintain with each other, as well as advice on a man's relationship with his courtesan, or prostitute. These are reflections of the time and place the Kama Sutra was written. When one considers this book was written in India, 2,000 years ago, it's understandable that certain parts would no longer hold relevance. Most of today's manifestations of the book don't include these sexist aspects as part of the Kama Sutra doctrine. Even without these sections, there is still criticism that the positions themselves are demeaning towards women, and that most of the physical burden is put on the woman. The Kama Sutra is written for couples where consent has already been established.